Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Well, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, and that seems a lot lately, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hopes within me die, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. Would you sing it with me? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Boy, brother, that's a great choir out there. Amen. Take your Bible, Job chapter 2. I have never heard a sermon on the wife of Job, ever. Now, I'm going to ask, maybe some of you have ever heard a sermon just on Job's wife. I think sometimes we give her the bum rap. I really do. And I was over to visiting Bernice Hamilton just before I left for go to South Carolina. And one of our dear widows, and she was at Park Place then, and as I talked to her, I mentioned that I was flying back so I could be back home for Mother's Day. I never want to be away from my church on Mother's Day. I just love Mother's Day. I just thank God for you wonderful ladies that God has given you the opportunity to raise children. And out of the blue, she said, I think that we're really too hard on, now, sister, hey, sit down. Sit. You can't get up when I'm preaching. You got up when I was singing. That's hard. No, put it down. It's okay. You're cool. And here we go now. And so I said to her, you know, I said, I've never heard a sermon. She said, well, why don't you preach one? Bernice is very subtle. You know, I just want you to know that. And so I said, I think I'll preach a sermon on Mother's Day, and I'm going to dedicate the sermon to you. And then here she goes in the emergency room. She's not even here today. So thank God we have them taped, and she can hear it. I don't think that many really consider Job's wife. I think that she was a good woman. Now, she certainly had a godly husband. Last week in South Carolina, I was working on my sermon, and my granddaughter came down to my study, and she said, I said, Emma, do you know who Job's wife was? And she wrinkled up her little face and screwed up her little face. She said, you mean the one that goes to my school? I said, no, Emma, I'm not talking about her. But anyway, I have to admit that I have heard a lot of messages about the troubles of Job. And I've been pointed out the foolishness of that woman, his wife, to tell her ailing husband to curse God and die. And I myself have given her a lot of grief. And I'll tell you what, I was thinking about this yesterday. I said, boy, when I get to heaven, I hope I've got it straight with Mrs. Job when I come up and say hi to her. Amen. But I think that she was experiencing, and what she was going through, I must confess that it must have been pretty tough on that precious lady. I'm sorry that we just don't live in a perfect world. And I doubt that we really have looked into this sweet lady's heart and mind. To tell you the truth, I've been really hard on her sometimes. You know, the scripture says, you know, there's only a couple of scriptures to find out about her. One is that, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. In verse 10 he says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And when I read that, I get this idea that he's saying, hey, you're not like that all the time. That's not the way you think. You're speaking like a foolish woman right now. Now, all of us men that are married to a woman know that sometimes that happens. And the Bible says that we're to be very careful with our wife and very, very helpful. One time my wife said something to me, and I turned to her and I said, why are you talking like that? And she says, who do you want me to talk to? My wife is a very smart woman, amen. Well, I said, just talk to God about it. Now, speakest as one of the foolish women. Speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his, what? Lips. That tells me something. That tells me that he's thinking it, but he's smart enough not to say it. By the way, there are a lot of all the times that you think of something and you think that you should not say it. I heard this saying, "Well, I thought I might as well say it." I wish you wouldn't do that. That really causes some problems at home. It causes problems in churches. It causes problems in our world. Well, if I just, because your heart may change after you say that. Daddy and Mama are having a very heated discussion at home. Pots and pans are thrown, glass thrown. It's best that you don't do that in front of your children. Because after it's said, you realize how stupid you were to say that to your wife. And she knows that. That's a good way of saying it. Amen. You go in the bedroom, and the first thing you say, you know what, I was out of order there, and I'm sorry. I love you with all my heart. You're the greatest thing ever happened to my life. I'm sorry I said that. And she says, well, it's about time you understood. And she says, honey, I know, I shouldn't have said that either. And all of a sudden, kissy, kissy, smoochy, smoochy, and life is good again. Amen? But your kids didn't hear that. They didn't hear what happens in the inner bedroom of your home. They didn't know that mom and daddy got right. All of a sudden, things get busy. Kids go to school and think, man, my mom and dad, they had a knockout, draw-out fight the other night. But they don't understand all that. So the woman who says, hey, why don't you just curse God's guy? Let's just get over this thing. Other people are listening. And he says, you're speaking like a foolish woman. I don't think Job's wife is bad as most people we put her up to be. I think she's a godly woman. I wrote some of these down. Almost every Mother's Day, we read Proverbs chapter 31. We praise her for her life and all that she did in the community, for her family and her husband. But when we look at Job's wife, it's like we put her in a microscope on Job and forget that this woman also had a great season of trial and torments. You see, when our wives marry us, we become one. And when one suffers, the spouse also suffers. Amen? Now, do you agree with that? To me, she is way above the troubles and sorrows that I have ever withstand. All the things that she's went. Think what this woman, dear woman, was enduring. Number one, today, we would like to give Mrs. Job some mercy. For now on, I'm going to give her a little room for not being as spiritual as Job at that time. I want to remind you that during her grief and the great and unbelievable trials, she was with her husband, she had lost 10 of the children that she bore and went to death. Almost to death to give birth to those children. I tell you what, when my wife had our first child, I had no idea what my mother must have gone through. I wept. And tried to show my love to my wife when she was going through that pain and sorrow of bringing forth a child. This lady, 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls, they all died on the same day. Gone. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that's ever lost all 10 children in one moment. I'm sure there has been. But can you imagine? I can imagine that. I look around this building, and you know, I've been here for almost 35 years, and a lot of you guys that I was at your birth, I remember Jonah, I kissed him on his forehead. That's probably why he's lost it all. I kissed him on his forehead when he's like just a couple of hours old, and I've pretty much done the same all 5 of their babies. And I look around and I think, I can't imagine losing. I have such a hard time when I see these, sometimes when our ladies going to have a baby and then they can't and something happens and they lose that one. That's precious to me. I get so upset when I hear the news and read the news about how many abortions that we have literally annihilated the beautiful little perfect children. Are you out of your mind? Where have we gone as a nation? But to think this lady, back to Job's wife now, think she has given birth to these 12 children. And they die one day. It's interesting to me that God never mentions another word about her. We know by the scriptures that she had 10 more children, but she's not mentioned. The Bible says in Job 42 verse 13, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the names of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kezi, and the name of the third Karen Hotpock. How'd you like to have a name like that? Hey, Karen Hotpock, how you doing? Hey, she's sweet. Now listen to this. This is what the Bible says about these girls. And all in all the land are no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. We don't hear about mama. But I'm going to tell you something. It takes something very special to raise children. I was just in South Carolina. I was with my grandkids. There's two boys and two girls. What a difference. Thank God God gave me boys. Oh, these girls. Oh, brother. Oh, my goodness. Jason, you're so lucky. Amen. Children. These girls. Oh! No, am I telling the truth, Mike?
Yes, sir.
There's something about them. I walk in, and Emma walks up to me. She's got me wrapped right around her little finger. And little Kate, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Papa, when are we going to the dollar store? That's the greatest thing ever happened in the world, the dollar store. And her mother, I understand now that mothers deal with their daughters best because she said, you will only buy three things at the dollar store. I mean, I'm going to salute her. I mean, you know, she's scaring me. They got four. But anyway. According to Scripture, Job was a wonderful, godly man. Amen? We all agree with that? Whoa, what a wonderful, godly man. I would say that there is a good chance that his wife was a godly woman. One time she says, hey, and all the troubles and all the sorrows and everything is going on in his life. I mean to tell you, he is in trouble physically. He has lost everything he has. Let me tell you something about that. You see where she had those three daughters that were in all the land, no women found so fair as the daughters. Let me tell you what the Bible says. As of the mother, so is the daughter. As the mother, so the daughter. My dad taught me, he said, now son, you go to the mother's house and you check her out. Because the way she is the way your wife is going to be. That's good advice. My friend said he went and his mama said, now son, how was that? How was their home? Was there clean? How was it? Oh, she says, mama, you could eat off the floor. Wow, I said, yeah, there's beans and corn and all, but anyway. As the mother, so is the daughter. So, fellas, when you're looking for a girl, fall in love with the mama first. I'm telling you, that's the only way I got Marcia. I fell in love with her wife, Emma. Her mama, Emma. I tell you, I loved her. I spoiled her. I gave her stuff. I mean, I always showed great respect to her, amen? Because you know what? I was after her daughter. Her mother was clean. My wife's clean. Her mother never left the bedroom after getting up in the morning without making the bed. My wife told me that's what happened. And guess what? That don't happen very much lately. But anyway. I would like to make a supposition that in the heat of the battle with the tears in her eyes, she spoke her mind out loud. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The wisest man in the world says there is not a man that does not have sin. Or does not speak wrong. Also, take no heed of all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. So he says, you better be careful how you judge other people. Because we're all sinners. And we all very easily make mistakes and say things we wish would never come out of this thing. The Bible said our tongue is set on fire in hell. Whew. That's pretty powerful. So let's be a little kind to Job's wife. Job had learned to keep his mouth shut. And note what the Bible says in verse 10 there, chapter 2. In all this did Job not sin with his lips. He kept it in his heart. And my friend, God knoweth the heart. And here's some wisdom. It is a very good practice to keep your lips locked and shut to keep others from hearing and being hurt and led astray. Mamas, be very careful what you say at home. Be very careful. Your children are listening to you. Foolish people will say, well, I thought it. I might as well say it. Now, I've said that a couple times because I want you to catch it. Amen. That is not so. The Bible tells us that we are to be very careful with our wife. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husband dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God's Word says we had better be awful good, awful careful about our wives and how we treat them and how we look after them. Listen to the verse of the Holy Scripture that says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 10, who shall find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, house and riches are inheritance of the father, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I hope you've got one like that. Proverbs 12, 4, a virtuous woman is the crown of her husband. When she says, curse God and die, I don't think that was a whisper. Oh, how she must have loved that man. He had fathered her 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. And when she said, curse God and died, you must put that in context. She had lost everything. And now she loses her husband in sickness. He is so sick. He hurts so bad. He is unable to do anything for her, let alone for himself. He sits in the garbage heap. He's covered with boils from the head to the bottom of his feet. I don't know if you've ever had a boil, but I don't want one on the bottom of my foot, I'll tell you that much. There he scrapes his boils with a broken potsherd of pottery. He is in such a sad state of mind that he cannot even encourage her and endure the incredible loss that he's already endured. He is unable to cradle her. Even to wipe her tears. He can't help her grieving because he's grieving himself. My, the heartache and the sorrow and the trouble. Just think of it. She has even lost her everyday task of living. Who's going to help her with wash and help with the clothes and the feeding and gathering of food? They had great number of servants that are dead. Who's going to help her with the big house to take care of it? They have no money now. How can they pay wages? How can they buy food? Her home that was so full of pleasures, a home of torment now. I'm sure that every place that she looked, her heart is flooded with memories of her children. You think of today. You lose your children. You go home to your house. First thing you look is on the refrigerator with all the crazy pictures your kids draw. And all the toys and all the stuff around. Can you imagine coming into a home like that? You take it easy on Job's wife. That house was full of life. I see these houses. Man, I was at a house last week like that. My goodness, 7 o'clock rolls around and you think that there's got to be 14 elephants upstairs. All carrying carts. Running through the house. Dogs are barking. Kids yelling, hey, don't forget this. Can you imagine coming to the house and just quiet? Think of her servants. Those servants also lost their families in the devastation that Satan had brought about. I'm sure that the quietness had gotten to her. No fellowship, all gone. My biggest complaint of my widows of my church, we have 11 here. Pastor, I'm so lonesome. It's so quiet. Think she had anything to look forward to? Husband's wealth. 7,000 sheep are gone. 3,000 camels are gone. 500 yoke of oxen are gone. 500 she-asses gone. The servants are all gone. In Job chapter 1 and verse 36, it read, "This man, Job, was the greatest of all men of the East." That's what the Bible says. God said to Satan, "This is the greatest man of the East." Verse 5 states that her husband of hers was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He was a sacrificing man. He was a praying man. He was a great father, because when he heard the kids were going out and having a party together, he was praying for them that they wouldn't do something bad. Oh, that man know that man is born in sin and we're prone to wander. He was a good father, and he took great responsibility of the fatherhood. He was a very concerned for his children's spirituality, his well-being. He watched out for their life, and he was acquainted with everything they were doing. Don't you tell me that she didn't do the same. The Bible said that Job was known for his piety. Not only on this earth, but also in heaven. The Bible says in Job 8, it says, God said that there is none like him in the earth. Yes, her husband, God said that he was perfect and upright. In fact, the Bible said he was one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed means that evil and sin was nauseous to them, and he literally would turn away and run from it. The illustration, the if you can look into it, you go over to a fish, where you're catching fish, and they got a place to a table there to clean your fish, and you throw your entrails of the fish in the garbage, and they put a lid over top of it, and you come in there and you're going to do the same thing, and you pick it up, and all of a sudden about 1,000 Beelzebub flies out of that thing, and it just about you're going hoo-hoo. That's what he screws evil means. That's how he hated evil so much. Boy, I wish that we could get that way. You remember the challenge that Satan made to God. Satan challenged God. He challenged God of his knowledge, challenged God of God's integrity, challenged God in equality towards mankind. He challenged God's fairness. Satan said, "The only reason that Job serves you was that you have made it easy for him, and he's your favorite, he's your pet, and you favor him." Let me give you a very valuable truth about God. In God, all things are equal, and he is no respecter of person. I get a little upset about people thinking that one race is more important than another race. Let me tell you something. We all came from the same father and mother, Adam and Eve. Satan said, "The only reason that Job serves you is that you have put a hedge around about him, and you've blessed him, and you've given him great value, and given him, and you've blessed his substance with great increase, and you just take it away, and he'll curse you." And the Lord said unto Satan, chapter 1, verse 12, "All that he hath is in thy power." I don't know about you, but that scares the bejeebers out of me. I wonder, is that true about my life? I wonder if this would be true in your life, if God would allow Satan to take away everything that you had, all your possessions, your children, your health, would you curse him? Would you cry, "That's not fair, that's a foul"? I want to ask you this. Is that the only reason you serve the Almighty God? God was trying to get prove a point here. He was trying to prove a point. He said, you know what? I want you to know, Satan, that there's a righteous man there. His name is Job. And I want to tell you that he loves me. And Satan said, I'll show you he don't. And all of a sudden he came in. Satan is called the great deceiver, the destroyer, the troubler, the wrecker, the defamer, the master of disguise. He's always trying to get us to distrust God and all the things that God has given to us. He gets us to try to believe that God doesn't love us and God doesn't care for us. And he tries to get us to the point in our lives that we feel that we have lost everything. And even lost our God. That's atheistic and you know it. By the way, Satan is always in a hurry to destroy anything that good. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Oh, how crafty he is. And God said to Satan, although thou movest me against him to destroy him. That word means in the Hebrew to swallow him up or to ruin him or overwhelm him with calamities. Boy, that's great, isn't it? Then God says, without a cause. I have allowed you to do this without a cause, but I want to prove you something. There are people that do love me and they do care for me. When he had done nothing wrong to deserve such treatment, I want you to always remember as a Christian, listen to me, listen to me. I want you to listen to me. Don't miss this. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God said, let me tell you something. Though the troubles come, the heartaches come, the sorrows come, the things that come to you that you do not think that just right. I was with my friend Rudy Smith. 20 years ago, his wife took a gun and shot herself in the head. She was under clinical depression. They gave her Prozac. And she tried to end her life because she was so confused, she didn't know which way to do. Brother Rudy and I are pretty good friends. We both have, I guess you can say, invalid wives. We don't understand this stuff. But I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to bring railing accusations against him. Because he knows, and he has promised me, faith. It's not something just poof in the sky. Faith is that we have seen God in many ways do things and we still trust Him in it and we'll still go in the dark with Him. And we trust Him with all our hearts. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can learn something from this old preacher, you just stay with it. Don't give up. There's something coming. We don't understand why. We don't understand these things that happen to us. We don't understand why our loved one passes away in the midterm of their life. We don't understand when our little child dies. We don't understand any of this stuff. But we know one thing, that God makes no mistakes and God knows what He's doing. And ease up, folks. He's the commander-in-chief. We're just His servants. Amen. Let God do His work. Yes, there's going to be lonely times. There's going to be times that you wish you could talk. There's going to be times that you wish you could just get a hold of them. But I will tell you, Job's wife is going through something that we have no idea what she was going through. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. We don't know that stuff. And so it'd be a good idea just to pray for each other and help each other when we and say, hey, I want you to know I love you. And I'm praying for you this time. Those things coming in our lives. We don't understand it, but we do know one thing. God makes no mistakes. And He will not fail you. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here today and you don't understand any of this stuff. I'll tell you what. You've got to have Christ in your heart. You've got to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come in your heart. You've got to become a Christian. You've got to become one who believes in Jesus Christ, knowing that He will always carry you through. Satan will hit our most precious possessions. 7 sons, 8 daughters. He will hit our most prized possessions. Slay His servants. Kill His oxen that were plowing. Stole the camels. Kill the sheep and the shepherds. Listen to what this man of character did. Verse 20. He arose, rent his clothes, fell to the ground, and worshipped. And to that I wrote, what else can you do? What else can you do? We are all at God's mercy. Job's trouble caused him and came to him like a tsunami. The waves of the mighty storm dashing and crushing everything in its path. But I'm reminded in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 2 of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassion faileth not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I have so much more to tell you. I'm going to finish this tonight. I don't normally do that. But that means that you don't want to miss this. I have mercy on her. I wish I could have been there and put my arm around her and say, you know what, Ms. Job, it's going to be okay. Because God's going to take care of you. You and I know. We read chapter 42. We know that everything came back and He doubled everything. Gave her 7 more boys and 3 more beautiful, magnificent girls. You say, wait a minute, I thought He said double. He did. He already has 10 in heaven. Now He's got 10 more. Thank God for that. Amen. So when we realize all the troubles and sorrows we go through, we know that one was always waiting for us. His name is Jesus. And He is there for you. Don't miss tonight. Let me finish this thing off. Let me finish it for you. There's some good things I've got to tell you. Father, I pray today that we would take this time and realizing how good. Thank You, Lord, for these mothers that are here. Yes, Lord, thank You for the time they spot out a little bit. And thank You for the times that they get a little disgusted and their hearts are broken and don't know which way to turn. Thank You, Lord Jesus, there's a God in heaven that says, In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to You. And Lord God, help us to have mercy on those that are going through troubles and heartaches that don't even know which way to turn. Oh, thank You for a God in heaven that knows, You know what's going on. We certainly don't. Oh my goodness, Lord, we're like a balloon that somebody just let the air out. We're just all over the place. We don't want to go. We're going down trails that we've never been. We're going over mountains we've never been. We're going down roads we've never been doing. We have to make U-turns to come back. We have to recalculate and go some other way. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to trust You and trust You only. Lord, our flesh is so weak. Our flesh is so careless sometimes. And we need You. We don't know which way to turn. But we know, Lord God, that You know. And You know everything about us. You even say that You collect the tears from our eyes in a bottle. You hear our prayers. Help us today. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today they say, I want that God. That's what I want. I want Him to help me through my life of troubles. Lord, the Bible says that the world is full of troubles and sorrows. Lord, help us to have one who's a trouble solver, who is the lover of the soul. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me that I would do that today and I'd accept Christ as my personal Savior? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you today. I don't know how people make it in this old world without a God that loves them. He loves you. He loves you first. Won't you trust Him today? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you if you would walk down this aisle and meet me by the... take my hand and say, Preacher, today, I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Let's all stand. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me?
I need some help.
And say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm sure. I just don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I need Jesus in my heart. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that today. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come and receive Jesus as your Savior? Boy, there's no greater time in life than to make sure that you're on your way to heaven. You're today and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Hey, we're ready. Would you like to come be baptized? We've got it all taken care of. You just come on. Come on. You're here today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for these who come forward today. Their hearts are broken. Lord, I pray that You would just show them that You love them in some tangible way. Lord, bless each one of us, Lord, as we go through down this old trail that we've never been before, that You'd show us how we ought to act and react. Help us, Lord, to keep our mouth, keep our lips quiet, and help us to trust in You in some things that we don't understand. Help us, Lord, as husbands to be very careful to watch over our dear wives and encourage them and love them in a great way. Thank You for the mothers that have been in our lives, that have moved our hearts. Some of them not even our own biological mother, but they've been a mother to us. Lord, help us to gain wisdom from them, and Lord, help us to think of those who have gone before in heaven today. Lord, help us to keep living for You. Lord, we love You today. And we thank You for the privilege of being able to be in church today. Bless this service now. Help us to bring us back tonight. And Lord, may we continue this word of God tonight about Job's wife and all God's people said. You're dismissed.